Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Permit me, please, to read to you two passages of Scripture. The first from Mark chapter 3 and verse 8. And from Jerusalem and Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and there about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. The second from Luke chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. People were attracted to God through Christ and the great things that he did. Matthew chapter 11, 2 through 5. Now when John heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And in a similar way, we can cause people to be attracted to God. Matthew 5 and verse 16 says, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Dear friend, the church has a work to do. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15, Paul said, These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, the work of the church is to proclaim and to defend and to practice and to support God's truth. And we cannot allow anyone or anything to hinder or retard that divinely ordained work. In Nehemiah 6 and verse 3, when Nehemiah was challenged to stop his work to a dialogue with his enemies, he said, I'm doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? No, friend, we must have the same attitude as did Christ when he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man work. The point is, Christ was doing the work that the Father ordained him to do, and great multitudes followed him as he did his work. Now, inasmuch as God is to be glorified in the church, Ephesians 3:21, and this glory is provoked by our good works, Matthew 5 and verse 16, the work is to be done by the local church at work and individual lives. Then the work of the local church ought to be of prime importance. It ought to be concerned of every Christian. Each of us should long to be a part of building a great local church. Well, what does it take to have a great local church? Friend, greatness is not necessarily found in numbers, or money, or size, or acceptance by the world, or the grandeur of the meeting house, or any such trivial matters as that. Now, while these have a relative value and deserve some concern, all these things can exist and the church not be a great church in the sight of God. How well a church may be accepted in a community does not determine the greatness before God. How many of the community's prominent people are members does not make it a great local church. There are at least four major matters that determine a great church, assuming that the church is first and foremost to be true to the Bible. In one way of thinking, being true to the Bible is really all that really matters in being a great local church. But there are other factors that will contribute to his greatness, and I want us to consider this just now. 1. There must be good leadership. 2. There must be the recognition of and the dedication to the purpose of the church by every member. And 3. There must be proper planning of the work undertaken. And 4. There must be a great and authorized program of work. and we shall now briefly comment on each of these qualities. Yes, there must be good leadership. Scripture does not demand a perfect leadership, for such would be impossible among men. Leaders are not perfect, even at their best. There are qualifications given by God for those who oversee the church, who serve as elders and deacons and preachers and teachers, just as there are qualifications for faithful members. The Bible emphasizes the spiritual quality of man, his maturity, his knowledge of the Word, and the consistency in his life to that Word. This eldership is not a mere board of directors making decisions and approving or disapproving proposals. They are to be examples to the flock that they guide, attentive to the spiritual welfare of every sheep, exercising the oversight of every effort, feeding the flock the spiritual food of the Word, and aggressively taking the lead in directing the local program of work, as well as using the authority they possess in making the decisions incumbent upon them to see that the work of the church is done as God wants it to be done. That's their work. That's what leadership requires. Deacons are to be, as the term suggests, servants of the church, cooperative, active, promoters, pushers, assuming their duties and discharging them under the oversight of the eldership. Preachers and teachers must preach the Word as is revealed in Scripture. Ephesians 4:14 admonishes that we speak the truth in love, without fear or favor, without compromise, doctrinally sound, declaring the whole counsel of God. Friend, no church can be a great church that does not adhere to the truth and teaches what God has revealed that it is to teach. And it takes good leadership to accomplish this work. And there must be unity among the leaders and the followers. Each one must be working for his sake, for the good of the entire body of Christ. In Judges chapter 5 and verse 2 in the American Standard Version, it says that the leaders of Israel took the lead and the people willingly offered themselves to the task. And so must it be with good, all that the church is involved in doing. There must be the recognition by the entire church of the greatness of the work of the church that God has given it to perform. Being the pillar and the ground of the truth, it simply means to reach out to the lost for their salvation. It is to be soul conscious with an evangelistic zeal, seeking and saving the lost. Too often soul winning is confined to a few people on a salary, and many of those are not too busy either. Teaching is often restricted to the same number, sometimes due to the lack of others to teach. There must be the creation of a sense of urgency about salvation among brethren, so much so that they will, using friendliness and warmth and sincerity and firmness of truth, teach those they know who are lost, teaching them the unsearchable riches of Christ. Friend, soul winning is given great priority in the Scripture, and it should be given priority among us. Our work is a work with eternal consequences. Every Christian has been saved to save, and we wonder why we do not more of us realize this great work and be about the Father's business. And besides saving the lost, the church must strengthen the saved, encouraging them to faithfulness. And this is the reason for Bible study classes and periods of spiritual nourishment. Such is essential to building and growing spiritually. There is no excuse for a local church to not have opportunities for members to learn more and more of Christ. To dispel biblical ignorance is a large part of our work in the church. And alongside these things, there must be the compassionate, sympathetic helpfulness toward those who are in need, a work that is sometimes called benevolent work. Now, this does not mean the church is to provide everything for everybody, regardless of who it is or what it is. That which the church is to do must be authorized by Scripture, be under the authority of Christ, Colossians 3:17. But too often this part of the Lord's cause is neglected and overlooked. Unfortunately, not by all. But again, building a great church by which others can be influenced to glorify God, it does involve good planning. It takes foresight and vision. Our cities, the telephone company, airport commissions, businesses, they all plan, even years in advance, what they intend to accomplish and how they expect to accomplish it. And too often the church just keeps house and drifts along, reacting to events, but not pressing forward toward its goals. We must learn what needs to be done, how to get it done, what we want to accomplish, establish our priorities, and learn the means of implementing methods to do what God wants us to do. Yes, decisions must ultimately be made, and they are made by the eldership, but every Christian is involved. Many things are left undone, unfortunately, that ought to be done because too many members are waiting for some official or organized plan of attack. Well, this can be helpful in many undertakings, but friend, we need not wait to be personally busy in the work of the Lord until some kind of official program is established. Furthermore, leadership needs advice and consultation and suggestions and proposals and encouragement. And without leadership and fellowship, how can the work be done? Leaders do not always have all the good ideas. Everyone ought to be making contribution to the furtherance of the work, just as they are able to make it. But always there must be good and authorized programs of work. Yes, leadership, fellowship, plans, words, they're all vital, but they're all for naught if the work program is not authorized of God and put into action. Churches should concern themselves with mission efforts, leadership training, emphasis on teaching and retaining the young, and encouraging the home to fill its role in the spiritual life of every person. The public proclamation of the word cannot be minimized. Various media ought to be used to preach the word. And finally, all these things demand people. People who will take the time and make the sacrifice and do the work and spend the money. They will contribute to building a great local church. And these things, I am presenting them with the hope and with a prayer that each listener will be motivated to be busier in the kingdom, carrying his load, showing a genuine concern for souls and the glorification of God among men. Together, we can and we must build for the cause of Christ. We can make the local church to which we belong a great local church. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.